we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hummond. Despite the heat, we're still alive.
And I'm still here. I'm Ann Northrup.
How are you, Ann?
I'm excellent. Quick medical update for those waiting. Yes, I got the pathology report back. The mass in my chest is just a fat necrosis, a little dead piece of fat.
So you're okay. So
I'm absolutely fine.
So you'll keep doing the show after July?
No.
No, 30 years is quite enough.
It is, and that was never the reason for my leaving. Yeah.
Yes.
So all is well.
Well, so what a week. Pride all over the world, from Budapest to Toronto, where the prime minister marched, to across the USA. We will report on it after we get to
the Supreme Court ruling that states can ban trans girls from girls' sports, which poses an existential threat to transgender identity.
And as we mark the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the Supreme Court, like our founders, backs racist policies to make America white again. This is without exaggeration.
No, and not white enough for Stephen Miller, who's quite upset about it. We'll discuss. The court leaves in place a $5 million judgment against Trump for sexual assault.
Pete Buttigieg was the victim of a malicious swatting and was separated from his two kids.
Overnight. A setback in Delaware.
But advances in trans care in California, Illinois, and New York City.
The EEOC has dropped the case of a trans teacher who was alleging anti-trans discrimination.
We're not doing that anymore.
No. But here's another way you could do it.
Texas is looking to ban LGBTQ people, and it mandates Bible lessons.
Didn't you have to read Bible parts when you were in school?
Oh, Catholics are not into the Bible. We're into tradition, not the Bible.
Really?
I did have a Bible course in high school, but yeah. No. I mean, of course, they read parts of the Bible at the Mass, you know.
Yeah.
But Bible study, we didn't come there with our books, you know. And
I got it.
None of that.
We could do a whole show on that. A state representative in Utah lost his primary, but he's still proud of having his state, having made his state more anti-LGBTQ.
The killer of trans man Sam Nordquist in upstate New York pleads guilty and faces life.
And we'll remember Victoria Cruz, a great trans anti-violence advocate.
And we'll give you an LGBTQ angle on the World Cup.
Several, yes.
So the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of this can be very confusing, you know, based on the headlines. But essentially, the Supreme Court ruled that states can ban trans girls from girls' sports. I don't think they said anything about boys.
They did not.
And they held that Title IX, when Title IX was written, sex only referred to biological sex at birth.
Yeah, and how much of the Constitution referred to airplanes when it was written?
Oh, come on.
Well, my point is...
No. I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah,
of course, you're right.
The Constitution establishes principles and values which are to be used to interpret current issues. And that's why this whole talk of originalism is so obnoxious, because it's not... the originalism is in the values, not in the details.
And boy, did Catan... You know, the decision was well, who was the main... Justice Kavanaugh was the main author of it.
Yeah.
Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a dissent which was so offensive. And
a dissent or a concurrence?
Concurrence.
Yes.
But Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote a dissent from that, really going after him and saying, well, let's go. Let, No. Let's talk about that later. Sorry.
All right. Let me just try to summarize this. So, BAV, the court says that you can discriminate against trans girls in sports. Good.
Unanimous on that.
Yeah. Good. You don't have to. It's not a ban on trans girls in sports. It's states can decide. It's like the abortion decision. You don't have to ban abortion. You can if you
except
want
to. Except for the fact that there'll be a renewed push to do this in the Congress.
That's fine.
And I don't think the states are necessarily going to give in on it. But Trump is going to say, if you don't do it, you know, I'm good, you know, et cetera.
I'm just trying to break down the actual decision. I think there will be, of course, a push. But, you know, we saw with abortion that, in fact, there are more abortions now than before the Dobbs decision, which is interesting because people become aware and they see the issues more clearly. And so they fight back. But what concerns me is that establishing the principle of being able to ban trans girls from girls' sports sets a value that may be applied more broadly to trans people in all sorts of other arenas. And that, I think, is also what we have to watch out for in addition to this sports business. And, of course, the sports business should have been decided absolutely the opposite, because the situation is that if you want to question the validity of allowing trans girls to play sports with cis girls, it should be a case-by-case basis, not a blanket ban on identity. And you should establish parameters and rules and standards.
I find the court, the conservatives, basically repeat Fox News talking points in their decisions.
Sure.
That's all they know about this. They act like it's this widespread thing, and it's killing cisgendered girls.
Excuse me. Brian Kavanaugh is an expert because he has girls who play sports. I'm telling you, that's what they're saying.
Well, Amara Jones of Translash Media said this decision essentially erases trans identity and undermines, she says it undermines Ruth Bader Ginsburg holding that sex is how you are perceived.
It also overturns the Grimm ruling, the trans guy who fought Virginia for years to be able to use the correct bathroom.
And the court ignored the equal protection arguments in this. They didn't even adjudicate them. So it's now, of course, Gorsuch, who wrote the Bostock decision.
Mm-hmm.
The Bostock decision says you can't discriminate against transgender people in employment.
Right.
That's what it says. And he, what he wrote here, is trying to torture and say, no, it's not going to affect that. It's different.
Blah, blah, blah. Today. Watch out for tomorrow. Can I run through a few others?
Decisions?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to finish up on this because the right-wing battle cry on this is biology wins, you know. And, of course, they don't respect biology when it comes to homosexuality, which is part of biology. They don't respect that.
They don't respect the biology of intersex people either. You know, it's all about binary for them, and it's their definition of who is what.
And the head of the Family Research Council says now we can get rid of Obergefell because of this.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
It's just his fantasy.
But it's not going to affect states like New York, where we protect them.
Exactly. And that is the point. It is not a decision that mandates banning trans girls from girls' sports.
And before we get to the other decisions in terms of trans issues, a lower federal court certified the people suing for transgender people in the military as a class. That's a big breakthrough.
That's a fantastic decision. There are a limited number of trans people in the military who had managed to stop the order requiring discharge of all trans people from the military. They stopped it temporarily, and then they went back to court and said this should apply to all trans people in the military, the stay, and the court agreed to that. So now that stay is in effect.
But don't forget, back to the Supreme Court, they allowed this exclusion to go into effect pending these cases.
Well, I think we're back to a stay as this is litigated.
Yes, we shall see.
Because the district court has just put that in. They have certified all trans military as a class.
Okay.
And discharges are halted for the moment. All right, back to the Supreme Court. Great decision upholding the validity of mail-in ballots. That was a terrific decision, arriving after, you know, mailed by the election date, but arriving a few days later.
But in the spirit, as I said, of our racist founders of this country, they aided Trump's mission to make the USA more white and subject to gun violence. They said Hawaii can't enforce its gun laws, where you can bring it into any place of public accommodation, of course, except their court. And it's okay to end temporary protected status for Haitians and Syrians and anybody else from an asshole country, basically. And I love that Justice Kagan took on Alito and said, "You're not quoting the president. You're saying he exhibited no animus. Are you kidding? Look at what he said about these people, the racist things that he said."
Exactly. But they upheld birthright citizenship, barely. And
that is alarming.
Very, because the Republicans will go after that.
Well, we had a solid 5-4 for saying the Constitution says what it says.
But a solid 5-4, you change, you know, Sonia Sotomayor has to get off the court, and you got a 5-4 the other way.
Well, and the only reason was it Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Who joined the majority was
making it 6-3.
He said, "Oh, just based on congressional law, what Trump did, wrote, was not unconstitutional."
Nonsense.
Go ahead.
I was happy that they carved out Lisa Cook at the Fed and said he couldn't fire her.
But
he can fire everybody else in the government.
We have all these independent commissions that have bridged administrations forever.
Civil service protections, gone.
Gone, absolutely gone. Unitary executive, this is one of John Roberts' things that is killing this country. We try to insulate these decision-making bodies from the whims of the executive.
Gone. It is King Donald. He can do whatever he wants. He can, you know, this is what Doge was doing in the first few months of the administration. And now all that has been upheld and they can go completely crazy, firing everyone they want.
And if you can now, political parties can now coordinate with their candidates and spend all the money that they want for the candidates, unlimited. This means that all the trillions and billions that are going to be coming into these campaigns can be spent with coordination, and that's what you're going to be hearing. Now, I will say that people power beats money almost every time. Mike Bloomberg,
yes,
trying to get involved in the Colorado race, he put a couple of million in there, and he was rebuffed.
He tried to get involved in the New York 12 race and lost. But
was he
for Lasher?
He was with Lasher.
Never mind. The Republican Party has $100 million on hand. The Democratic Party is in debt. But here's what I think is bringing out into the light the system that's been going on anyway. I have no illusion that these parties were not coordinating with the candidates begin with.
All these committees.
All these. So,
all these PACs.
So it lifts the veil on that. It's horrible, but it lifts the veil.
But you've got to get money out of politics. Anyway, but speaking of money, Trump will have to pay $5 million to E. Jean Carroll for losing civil suits against him for sexually assaulting her in a department store dressing room. Supreme Court refused to hear it. There's E. Jean Carroll in the dark blue, out lesbian, Robbie Kaplan, her lawyer, there in the middle. And, of course, on the left, our own Jackie Rudin, who is holding up a sign that says, "Pay up, deadbeat,"
with
a picture of Trump.
That was several years ago when the decision was first sent down. So originally, E. Jean sues for sexual assault. She wins. Trump is ordered to pay her $5 million. Then he goes out and trash talks her all day, every day, everywhere. And they go back to court, and he is now ordered to pay $83 million for defamation. So that is still to be finally adjudicated, but he absolutely must pay the $5 million. And I think that's been sitting in escrow. So it's not like he – and all we hear about are his billions of crypto. So it's not like it's – supposedly going to bankrupt him.
For those of you who voted for him, doesn't any of this bother you?
Well, I am hoping that this is a little harbinger. Lambda Legal Defense put together what they're calling a new five-year plan, Rising Together, to have a strategy for stopping bad laws, passing good laws, and changing public opinion, more than just the legal stuff they're doing. And they say they're going on offense. And Kevin Jennings, who runs Lambda Legal, is a very active, aggressive guy and is certainly capable of leading them to be more on the offense, and that would be great.
Maybe after you're gone, I mean when you retire, I'll have Kevin Jennings in here.
He can tell you.
He's been a good guest.
He can tell you about his new LGBTQ Bill of Rights.
Okay.
That's what they're doing.
Can we talk about, this was, I know you're, most of you, of course, are getting ready for the 250th anniversary of the country. But we in our community had our pride celebrations around the world. Tens of thousands marched in Budapest, the first one since Viktor Orban was gone. Similar scene to last year where they did it illegally. But anyway, and so it was. And again, they did this in 100-degree heat.
But they did say it was a more relaxed march because of the change of administration. So the tension was gone because they've won.
And Toronto had pride, and the Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, marched, and it's such a joyous spectacle of what? No, was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little doused with water, you can see.
He got hit with water. He said, I want more because it's hot, you know. And so, I mean, can you imagine the President of the United States doing this? Of course not.
No.
He couldn't even walk down the street.
No. So thank you.
Mark Carney.
Mark Carney. And then
that's enough. And then we had you were a marshal at the drag march.
I was for the second year.
Show the pictures.
Yeah, the drag march is.
Oh, look, you're with an absolute.
That's supposed to be third.
Well,
show us the drag march banner.
There it is.
So the drag march is an annual event. It's just a casual stroll from the East Village to the Stonewall. We don't even advertise.
In heels.
Not me. No. We don't advertise it because we want to keep it small and community.
There's Chris Cooper and John and friends.
Chris Cooper in the blonde wig.
Yes.
And a few others. And now you can show me and Roll Arena.
Two legends.
We strolled the entire route together.
And you were well received.
Well, we were just chatting away.
And then the Dyke March once again took place without a permit in New York, and it was also a joyous celebration. There's a little scene from there.
They said there was a lot of youthful energy. The Dyke March has gotten younger and younger every year, which is great. Now, some of you should be applying to come co-host this show.
Okay. Write to me, Andy, at gayusatv.org.
Yeah.
But, all right. And then let's get to the Pride marches. I'm always reminded by a viewer from Chicago that Chicago did the first one in 1970, the day before the New York one. And in the Chicago march, there was Governor Pritzker.
Yeah. Good
more,
guy.
More on him later.
Yeah.
And then in New York, our friends at Gays Against Guns were one of the grand marshals. There they are marching down Fifth Avenue.
With behind them the human beings, as they call them, people who march.
That's a picture, by the way, of Donna Aceto.
The human beings marched silently, dressed in white, to represent the 47 or 49 killed at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando.
Right. Chuck Schumer marched as he usually does, and he's always trying to exaggerate his record on things. He doesn't tell untruths.
I have a lesbian daughter. She got married.
He doesn't tell untruths. I'm the first senator to march on this parade. Well, all right, but you also voted, you don't voted for the Defense of Marriage Act. So he got booed quite a bit during the thing. I think people are done with him.
Well, that seems to be the general feeling. I'm not sure what exactly he's done to offend people, but everything's turned this year, and he's become an object of derision and anger.
We had our Queer Liberation March for the, I guess that, what is it? I mean, we've been doing it a long time, though.
2019, this would have been the 8th.
And we marched from Union Square to Foley Square. This only takes 2 hours, and it's a nice, brisk march. And you get to eat in Chinatown afterwards. It was also a joyous occasion.
Word is that Seattle had a huge, huge Pride March.
I got a note that there are 12 companies that did not back down from supporting Pride this year. And I'm going to link in our email to a story by Daniel Villarreal in the LGBTQ Nation so you can read who they are who are sticking by us.
Well, weren't we mad at them?
What?
Corporations for being in the march?
Well, that's true. That's why we have the... we're not against them giving money.
Of course not.
But we are against them having contingents in the marches.
Yeah. Or too many, at least. In Eugene, Oregon, Pride was canceled because there had been a hate attack on the march or the parade last year. And so they decided they did not have enough protection from the local law enforcement this year, and they canceled. And law enforcement said, well, maybe if you applied for a permit. Really? What about the constitutional guarantees of freedom of assembly?
And the committee there points out that they provided traffic control for at least 4 unpermitted marches in Eugene this year, including a Charlie Kirk rally and march.
There you go.
Right. In Boise, Idaho, well, there's a ban on rainbow flags on government property. So the residents of the city now are doing everything they can to show their pride. And they made these signs, too great for hate. Idaho is too great for hate. Mm-hmm. And they put them all over the place. They raised $10,000 to do it. And that, so all this is, all these bands, it's like banned in Boston. All these bands are doing is getting more people to express their solidarity with us.
Exactly. In Missouri, in St. Louis, they started off the weekend, I guess, with a rainbow wreath ceremony honoring military LGBTQ people. Very moving. I saw a little video of it, but couldn't capture it.
Speaking of Lambda Legal Defense, they did a video called Flying Our Flag, Protecting Our History. They helped win the case to get the rainbow flag back up at the Stonewall National Monument.
Right.
And it's a roundtable that I'm going to link to with our own Kathy Marino Thomas and others. It'll be in our email. Go to gayusatv.org and sign up for it, or go to Lambda's website.
I think we have finished our Pride list.
Yes. By the way, speaking of, you know, federal parks banning us, there's a new analysis from the Center for American Progress showing how the Trump administration is rewriting American history. They have censored 82 parks with Black history, 74 with Indigenous, 55 with science, 20 with women's. Of course, we don't have many. 3 parks with LGBT content. I'm going to link to that article, too, but they are relentless about this.
Well, they've been ordered to restore all that stuff. Let's see
some,
if they do.
Some.
Yeah. And moving into politics, Trump has put his face on a special edition of the passport. I immediately checked mine to make sure it was not expiring too soon. 2031, with any luck, he'll be gone by then.
By the way, even QAnon hates Trump now, but we don't want them. All right, Pete and Chasten Buttigieg. So somebody dropped a dime on Pete. Somebody from Alabama who said, I heard him say he did something horrible to his children or something like that.
Yeah.
This is called into the police.
Yeah. Child Protective Services.
So they show up at his door and say, put the kids over there. You're over here. send the kids somewhere else. We have to interview you all separately about this. And that they were, he was separated from his children. They were brought to their grandparents' place. But, it, I mean, they ultimately concluded, oh, I guess this was just something political. He'd never even been to this event.
He'd never been to the state, I think. Well, certainly not to that.
He better
event.
Be if he wants to be president. But anyway, he obviously
he is
justifiably outraged and is hoping they can find who did this swatting.
Well, I'm outraged by the EEOC, which we know has stated that it is not doing any trans discrimination cases.
Despite the fact that the court has ruled that this is illegal discrimination in the workplace.
This is a teacher in Southern California.
Flint Del Sol. You got a picture of Flint there?
Yeah, there he is.
Now you bring your case to the EEOC because you don't want to hire a private lawyer, and you want it to be a case that is going to make an example. This is why people go to human rights commissions.
Yeah.
But he gets told, it's coming from the top. Forget it.
Yeah.
We're not doing it.
Yeah. But the slight positive note, they did say to him, you can sue the school district on your own.
You can take a private right of action. I would recommend doing it in state court these days.
Yes. And it turns out that the Department of Homeland Security has not gone to sleep. They conducted more raids in Minnesota, arrested 15 more people they branded as Antifa for conspiracy.
Where did they grab a nun on her way to church?
Oh, I saw that picture. I didn't see where.
They grabbed a nun.
But they grabbed these people because they were at a protest against ICE, which is now illegal in this country. They define that as, they label it conspiracy. They define it as domestic terrorism, political violence.
There's no such thing as domestic terrorism.
No, there isn't. And political violence to go to a demonstration.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare everybody.
They went to a DSA meeting.
Yeah, well, that's a terrorist group.
And of course, the
James Carville is saying, "Don't sit this woman from the DSA in the Congress. Don't even sit her."
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Well, he's always
so
been
much
a jerk. He continues to be.
But
a jerk.
In better political news,
don't these people realize that? They thought AOC was going to blow up the country, and now they're talking about her as a candidate for president. Look at the actual facts of what happens on the ground. There are a lot of people who are scared of Mom Donnie, but look how he's governing, I think very reasonably, and negotiating, and you may not like everything he does, but he's doing some great stuff. And just give these people a chance, for heaven's sake.
And as I pointed out in my letter to the Daily News, which attacked these DSA candidates, what they stand for is the New Deal of Franklin Roosevelt and Fiorella LaGuardia, the most beloved mayor of New York, who was a democratic socialist, which is fair wages, no child labor, women's rights, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
All right. More political news. Out on Long Island, the end of Long Island, they tend to elect Republicans out there. And out gay Christopher Gallant won the Democratic primary to face his Republican opponent out there in Suffolk County. He looks like a credible candidate.
He does.
Although Nick LaLota, who was the Republican, has been trying to hedge his stuff on
play all sides
on
of the
gay
bench.
Issues. Not trying.
Well, it's the Hamptons. You'd think we could.
It's the Hamptons, and it's also Suffolk County.
Yes.
Where in the 1920s, 20% of the population belonged to the Ku Klux Klan. Literally, I'm not exaggerating this. They belonged to the Klan. It's got a long, bad history.
And then in Utah, Representative Trevor Lee, a Republican, lost his primary incumbent, and he was famous for having gotten pride flags banned in Utah in government space.
In his concession speech, he said, "I'm proud to have moved this state meaningfully to the right." In New York, is on track to have the gayest legislature up there in Albany, state legislature ever, with at least 10 members of the Assembly and Senate, part of our community. There's Brian Romero from Jackson Heights, Ilapa, an out gay and non-binary child of Peruvian immigrants from the Lower East Side, in David Orkin, who beat the incumbent, Jennifer Rajmakur, and
Rojas.
No, this is another one. Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez Rojas won the Queens State Senate primary over the incumbent Jessica Ramos, who had dropped out of the mayoral primary and defected to Andrew Cuomo. And this is why Jessica got in the race.
I'm going to have to learn so many new people. We expect 10, at least 10 out LGBTQ people in the new New York State legislature.
That's good. And credit to the people who do run.
Oh, my heavens, yes.
There's a new study from the LGBTQ Victory Institute and Loyola Marymount University, which basically says one in three of these folks, two-thirds, have experienced in-person harassment, while nearly 8 in 10 faced online abuse. One in three received death threats online. One in seven received the death threats in person for running. So
our friend Marnie Von Wilpert has been experiencing that in California. Yeah.
Really? And what about San Francisco and Scott Wiener?
Oh, Scott Wiener. Now, there's an interesting case. This video is all over the internet of him. He's a sitting state senator, I think, in California. Long time, well-known, popular politician. But things have turned.
And
he won the primary
runoff for the primary for California, and he's the favorite to become the next to succeed Nancy Pelosi in the Congress,
who is not supporting him.
No,
there's a woman running, Chan, who is the alternative favorite for people. But Scott Wiener is being attacked because he's considered insufficiently supportive of Palestinians
by a handful of people.
Yes,
these were people who have been harassing him.
Yes,
and with virulence, and that's the kind of harassment. Look, and he has said, I believe, that there's a genocide going on in Gaza, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what else he's supposed to do at this point. I'm not saying, you know.
I think they're going after him because he has also supported Israel's right to exist. So there he is, being sort of driven out of the trans event. Trans march, because this handful of people just will not stop screaming at him. I'm a little surprised that no law enforcement, not that I'm their biggest fans, but didn't come along and try to stop the assault, which is really what it was.
Well, was he actually physically?
No, but you've seen the video. He was threatened. He was screamed at relentlessly by at least half a dozen people who encircled him. And we're really, I would call it a violent attack. Now, should people be supporting people in Gaza against the genocide being committed against them? For me, I would say yes. But it's become very ugly and complicated.
And of course, it is one of the issues. I mean, the whole issue has become a reason that a lot of Democratic incumbents are getting defeated. But I mean, this was a separate incident.
Well, it is part of the DSA wave, because the DSA people are very strong on supporting Palestinians who have been killed and bombed and everything else. And the Israelis would say, we've been under attack ever since we came here.
All right.
No easy answers.
A loss in Delaware. There was a proposed amendment to enshrine same-sex and interracial marriage protections in the Delaware Constitution. It needed two-thirds in each house, and one of the houses, some of the Democrats, even defected, and it did not pass. Now, of course, same-sex marriage is legal in Delaware and every state in the Union.
This is one of these proposals to protect it in case the right wing succeeds in overturning Obergefell at the Supreme Court, and to get rid of leftover state laws. And this one was about protecting not only same-sex marriage, but interracial marriage. So,
which is what the Congress did with the Respect for Marriage Act. That passed with bipartisan support.
And in Haddonfield, New Jersey, the mayor has condemned people who grabbed 9 pride flags in the middle of daytime, right smack in the open.
Ed Koch, when he was mayor, was doing a gay pride proclamation down at a government building, and one of those right-wing nuts grabbed it and tore it up right in front of everybody.
Wow.
And then, you know, all right. And then Koch said, oh, leave him alone. I mean, instead of like, lock him up. What do you think would have happened if I did that?
Well, at least Nancy Pelosi didn't get locked up for tearing up Trump's State of the Union address.
That's not an official government document.
Well, it was a pretty official event.
It was one of her great moments.
It was. I'll love her forever for that. Well, anyway, these guys in New Jersey got arrested, and the mayor condemned them as thin-skinned broflakes.
All right. Republican Governor of New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, is had it. For the third time, they passed some anti-trans bill, and she keeps vetoing it. You keep giving me the same thing, I'm going to keep vetoing it.
And good for her.
Yeah.
In Colorado, the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, it was investigating Jefferson County schools all in this pogrom against trans kids. And the federal government said they found 61 boys on girls' teams. And the Jefferson County said, yes, they're there. They're managers. They're mascots. None of them are players. What the hell are you talking about? But the federal government has not yet backed down from their assault.
All right. Public officials tend to wait to pride events to announce good things that they're doing. And in Sacramento, Governor Newsom, with a lot of lobbying, did sign protections for access to transition-related care and strengthened the laws around that. Now, this is a $26 million investment. And so that's okay. And then, but it took some convincing. And then in Illinois, I mentioned Governor Pritzker. He signed 3 trans rights bills into law. And then mayors in New York City, Mayor Mamdani announced 3 major and new initiatives to safeguard and expand gender-affirming care for youth and adults.
I think that's due to you blowing the whistle on him on the hospital, his supposed trans care thing.
Well, here's the thing. I'm still a little concerned about this because a lot of the money is for like a helpline to refer you someplace. I still want to find out. I mean, his trans assistant says it's going to be in it's already being provided in health and hospitals. I just want to get that for sure.
It would be nice. By the way, the a deep study of the New York Times has found that they're. They went through a huge shift in their coverage of trans issues in about 2022 when A.G. Sulzberger took over as publisher.
It's a family business.
Yes, it is. And other new executives were put in place. Trans voices were declined. They don't much interview trans people in stories about trans issues. And the right-wing voices have increased geometrically at the New York Times.
Okay. Texas. Well, first of all, the Board of Education went through with it, and they are going to put Bible verses on the required reading list through all the grades. Most of the list focuses on what they call classic literature, including Night by Elie Wiesel, where he speaks of God has abandoned me. I bet you they didn't read it. And it includes Hamlet, which is by a bisexual playwright, William Shakespeare.
It's true. I'm sure they just did it all titles. Also in Texas, a justice of the peace announced that she would not marry same-sex couples because of her religious beliefs. And she got disciplined by a state board, heavens, in Texas. And she fought back, and she is now receiving $640,000 in damages. $630,000 is for her legal fees, and she gets $10,000. Those are some high-priced lawyers.
Well, speaking of religion, I want to go back to Texas Board of Education for a second. The officials say the Bible is an essential piece of literature. And as long as you label it fiction, it's fine with me.
Okay.
All right. And then there's the new Texas GOP platform. Now, for years, they've been doing the most extreme things. And now they're not just targeting transgender people. It targets LGBTQ people broadly. Homosexuality is an abnormal lifestyle choice, on and on and on. Calls for nullifying Obergefell. It goes on and on and on. But again, if they're in control of the legislature, they can do these things.
Well, as long as we're on religion, let's look at some of the pastors who are going to prison. In Ohio, a very homophobic Reverend Silas Shelton is going to prison for sex crimes with a child, in spite of all his moral high ground.
I have a picture of him,
yeah,
I think. He's a good-looking guy.
I'm calling for it a little out of order, so that's why they're a little slow on it. Reverend Silas Shelton going to jail. There he is. 15 years in prison for child sexual abuse. Pastor. And beyond that, in Texas, another ex-pastor has been convicted of child sex trafficking. He's going to prison for 35 years. He showed no remorse for his crimes and blamed the 14-year-old girl he had forced into sex for what he did. And in San Francisco, the Archdiocese will pay $395 million for 70 years of child victims of sex abuse by priests.
And yet, people still give them their money.
They do. They don't watch Gay USA and learn these things.
In Oregon, the State Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists withdrew its previously agreed remedies against a counselor who allegedly violated their code by refusing to validate a client's same-sex relationship. They're doing this in light of some court decisions, but it's disturbing.
Well, it may be a fine line. I read this story and I thought, well, if he didn't, it doesn't sound like he tried to talk her out of her lesbian relationship. He just wouldn't affirm it and was overt about that and said, well, I'm a Catholic. I can't approve of that. But it doesn't sound like he rejected her.
Okay.
Now, you may say whatever. But
right. You want an LGBTQ angle on the World Cup? Of course, it all centers on Seattle, where they're having the Egypt-Iran match. But it was also like a pride week, so the stadium was doing pride stuff.
When they first scheduled the World Cup in all the different cities, and Seattle was getting a couple of matches, they noticed that it was one of the matches was falling on Friday night of Pride weekend. And they said, all right, we're going to call this the Pride match, and we're going to decorate with flags and everything. And then after that, teams qualified, teams were assigned to various cities, and lo and behold, who should be assigned to Seattle for the Pride match but Iran and Egypt?
Not very fond of gay people.
Whoa!
So Peter Tatchell went out there and protested in the stadium, and he was approached by the officials, but they actually didn't stop him. They said as long as he stayed in his seat.
Well, FIFA was very overt about saying that Pride flags are perfectly acceptable in the stadium. That is not any human rights signs and flags are within our rules. It's okay. And Iran and Egypt, after threatening to, blow up the place, I'm exaggerating, They played the game. They didn't protest it. And life went on.
And Outright International, which is the international group from our community advocating for people around our people around the world, they went to the city and distributed thousands of flags all over town, rainbow flags.
Meanwhile, the controversy continues over 10,000 Mexican fans chanting puto at opposing goaltenders, puto meaning fag in Spanish, and they are notorious for this for years and years. Sometimes they've been forced to send the entire arena home as a punishment, but FIFA seems unable to stop these fans from chanting that, and it happened again this week at games in Mexico City, where Mexico just beat I can't remember who. But the fans, again, were chanting Puto Mexico. Mexico won the game, so I'm sure we can look forward to more of those chants. Good news, there are both male and female out gay broadcasters covering these games on Fox. I kid you not.
Well, in another crime story in upstate New York, we told you about this. In 2025, Sam Nordquist, a trans man from, I forgot where he was originally.
Minnesota.
He was lured to upstate New York by a group of people who then imprisoned him, tortured him relentlessly, and he was killed.
Really bad.
It's awful. So this week, Precious Arzuaga, 40 years old, admitted to all this. And so
being the ringleader of the group.
She is pleading guilty and faces life in prison without parole.
Okay. Congratulations to Lynn Brown, who's retiring from running the Washington Blade for many years and will be replaced by
Brian Pitts there. They've all been involved with the paper for a long time. It's an essential resource.
It is. Let's speed it up a little.
Yeah.
Victoria Cruz, there, second from the left, wearing the T-shirt saying "We make a difference," worked out trans activist, worked at the New York City Anti-Violence Project, and was the subject of the movie made by David France, The Death and Life of Marsha P. Johnson, because she provoked a reexamination of what is believed to be the murder of Marsha P. Johnson, and went after it relentlessly and never came up with a full answer. But it's a really interesting documentary, and she was a great activist.
She was a survivor of addiction and sexual violence. She lived through the criminalization of cross-dressing herself. Just a hero.
79 years old. And then there was a gay male couple from Chicago who were in Mexico, and their bodies have been found in a mass grave in Mexico. Zafar Mawani and Guillermo Hidalgo Ortiz, and their families are just devastated by this.
The government of Malaysia is urging the public to stop using the term LGBT to avoid normalizing LGBTQ people in the broader community. You have to use a phrase that means perverted, deviant culture. And they go after you on the internet and try to replace things. It's just, wow.
A couple of other deaths. Victor Willis, the leader of the Village People, has died at the age of 74.
Not gay himself, but the Village People.
The Village People, yes, not gay himself. He was the cop. He was the lead singer. He was the co-writer of YMCA and In the Navy. You know who his first wife was? Felicia Rashad.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. He fought for his own copyright rights. He was part of the movement by the Village People not to let Trump use the songs, but eventually he joined a performance with the Village People for Trump's second inauguration.
Gay Games 12 got underway in Valencia, Spain, with 9,000 athletes in great heat. It's
but controversial. Local leftists were boycotting the opening of the gay games because when they were awarded to Valencia, Spain, the progressive leftist government was in power. And then a couple of years later, the government changed to a right-wing government. And now that government is in charge when the gay games open.
So they're calling it pinkwashing by the conservatives, but it's not like they're stopping the games from going forward.
No, but they're taking down pride flags all over the city.
Oh, okay.
And doing other things. They're terrible. One more death. Karen Clark in Minnesota, 80 years old. She was the first out person in the Minnesota legislature in 1980. She said coming out is the most important political act. She worked on non-discrimination legislation and marriage. She was a real trailblazer.
Somebody we talked about many times over
the
years.
Yes. All right. Other international news.
Go ahead.
Well, in Russia, a club owner and two assistants have been assigned to prison for organizing LGBTQ events. And in Turkey, they held the Pride Parade under great controversy. 50-plus people were arrested at the Pride Parade.
Very brave.
Yeah. And in the UK, they published a draft of a ban on conversion therapy, finally.
Well, let's let it happen.
Yeah, okay.
Like Lucy in the football. Charlie Brown on the football.
People still are dying of AIDS, and one of them is an actress, Davy Chase, who was 35. She starred in The Ring as a child actress and voiced the character Lilo in Lilo and Stitch. But in recent years, she had...
We have a picture of her somewhere
there. Yeah, she had become a victim of drug abuse. She was living on the streets. And she contracted HIV, and she died at age 35.
Yeah, she stepped away from the spotlight back in 2013.
Yeah,
entertainment news.
She had an accident and got hooked on pain.
Right. Meds. All right. Entertainment news. I saw on Netflix the documentary Chris and Martina, The Final Set. It's a tremendously moving documentary about Chris Evert, and Martina Navratilova. It's a great sports documentary, and it's very full of heart as they each battle their respective cancers, ovarian cancer for Chris and throat and previously breast cancer for Martina. It fully explores how Martina is being reported to be bisexual, gay before she was ready to come out, affected her life and performance and endorsements. But it's ultimately a portrait of an amazing bond. These were the two biggest, the greatest tennis players of their time. And, in some sense, I mean, they were such rivals, and yet they were friends, they were not friends,
yes.
and now they're
yes.
friends.
Yes, exactly. They went back and forth. This weekend at the IFC Center Theater here in New York on Sunday and Monday, they're screening Rated X, a film from 1986 that's been restored. We've had these filmmakers on here before, Lucy Weiner and Paula de Kennisberg. This is a terrific documentary about sexism in culture in America. They go around talking to men all over the country about their sexist points of view. The filmmakers will be at the screenings for a Q&A afterwards. So that's at the IFC Center. Rated X, Sunday and Monday. I watched, this isn't particularly gay, although the way everyone was dressed may have been, the BET Awards.
Black Entertainment Television.
Exactly. I've never seen an audience at an award show better dressed. It was just spectacular. But they were giving a special award to Lauryn Hill, whose work I love, especially the first album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. There she is performing. This tribute went on so long that they took two commercial breaks in the middle of the tribute. It went on for like half an hour in the last half hour of the show, and they had just every artist you could think of getting up and singing her song and songs and paying tribute to her, and all decked out in these fantastic clothes. And finally she got up and said, I wasn't planning to sing, but they didn't do this song and I want to do it, so I'm going to sing that now. It was fantastic. So I recommend watching a rerun of the BET Awards.
The documentary we've told you about, Bang My Box, the Robin Bird story, one of our fellow public access hosts on New York television, quite the legend. It's now running on
HBO and HBO Max.
Yeah, I started to watch it, yeah.
Yeah.
Lou Malletta is in it.
He is there because he and Robin.
Our founder.
Yes, he and Robin and Al Goldstein, all pornographers of one level or another, had been on this leased access channel where you buy time. That's where we were originally. And the government came in and said, well, we're going to censor this. Where it's not good for children, and we're going to cover up stuff and bleep stuff, and we're going to censor it. And they said, hey, this is not right. We have the right of free speech on this channel. We're not doing anything over the line. And they sued, and they went through this long court case, and they won. Something unimaginable these days, I would say.
Well, I remember when we had an unfortunate health commissioner named Woody Myers, a Republican brought in by David
Indiana,
Dinkins,
from
my
Indiana.
Friend from the Midwest.
Yeah.
And we were at a reception. We were trying to get along with him because AIDS was so important we were working on. And Channel 35 came up in the conversation, and he goes, ooh, I'm sitting there watching TV in New York, and this stuff comes up. I mean, because there was a tremendous amount of nudity, you weren't allowed to I don't want to get too far, but you weren't allowed to show insertion, but you could be totally naked, and certainly they were on these shows.
Yes. There were some rules about
Couldn't touch a penis or a vagina. You could come close.
And you weren't supposed to show an erection.
No, we don't do anything like that here.
No.
And, here on MNN and here on Free Speech TV.
Well, there's a distinction between leased access, where you buy the time and have more freedom, and public
access. Yes.
Which has some rules about language and images and whatever. But this documentary, Bang My Box, the Robin Bird story, is an explanation of all that, and of Robin, who really is the most charming, sweet person. And I think people don't expect her to be, but when I remember first meeting her years ago and realizing that she was just this really nice human being.
So sexual liberation continues.
Does it? We'll see. I'm of course disturbed by a lot of these Supreme Court decisions. They're
disturbed. I mean, here we are on the verge of the 250th anniversary of the Republic, and they're basically saying it's over.
Well, yes, they are. And the thing that scares me
and
most,
we're going to run things, and our money people are going to run things, and you can pound sand.
And I am concerned that we're going to lose a liberal justice, and that's really going to be the end of it.
Well, of course, the rumors are that Alito and Thomas may retire.
Well, Nina Totenberg said Alito had announced his retirement and then had to retract it. So
I expect him to retire before the end of this term so that Trump
well, it is the end of this term.
No. I mean, you don't retire by the end of the year. Republicans only need a week to stick somebody in.
If they are determined to do so.
They may want to wait till after the election.
Yes.
Because otherwise Susan Collins is going to be on the spot again.
Yes.